Hello, and welcome to In Depth. That's our PSA program here on Lotus Radio, and it is a Sunday morning. My first guest, wonderful individual. I need to apologize to him on the air, because we were supposed to have him in like a week ago, and then I was preempted by other things, so I'm glad I could get him in. Chris Fichtel with the Nature Conservancy. Specifically, you are the Independence Lake Project director.
That's correct.
All right. So how did you, I want to get a little background on you. How did you get involved with the Nature Conservancy and maybe just your work in general?
Well, I've been interested in conservation my entire professional career.
Yeah.
And I've been with the Nature Conservancy off and on for probably about 20 years. I've been with the Nevada chapter, which manages the Independence Lake Preserve, since 2009.
Yeah, okay. So. And what has changed since you've kind of taken up this mantle of working there?
Well, when I started with the program in 2009, we didn't actually own the Independence Lake Preserve.
Okay.
We had it under contract with NV Energy, which owned the property at the time, and we purchased it in 2010. And since then, you know, we've been working on a number of projects to help recover one of the native fish populations that's in the lake, or native fish that's in the lake, and work on improving forest health around the lake, and working to prevent invasive aquatic animals and plants from getting to the lake. It's a pretty clean lake, relatively speaking.
Okay.
And so that's meant, having to come up with a program that could help do that.
I got you. So speaking of invasive species, how does that even come about? How do you get things in the environment that aren't supposed to be there in the first place?
Well, in a lot of cases, I mean, sometimes there are a couple non-native fish in the lake.
Okay.
And they were introduced by well-meaning, you know, fish managers.
Okay.
But that's no longer taking place. But the other thing is, with some of the aquatic invertebrate animals, mm-hmm. and plants, they come in on boats or trailers because, you know, if one lake is infested with something,
right.
and somebody backs their trailer in, that can be picked. Whatever it is can
just
be picked up.
Just hitches a ride.
Hitches it, right. Hitchhikers. And then that's how they generally move from lake to lake. They can get there from other things like ducks flying from lake to lake. But generally, where we've really seen the uptick in invasive species infestations is people moving boats and trailers and other watercraft around.
Okay. And what happens when you have an invasive species? Does it kind of choke everything else out that's native?
Okay. It can. Sometimes there are certain aquatic plants like Eurasian water milfoil, which can be really clog up its system and make, you know, completely change the habitat for fish and other aquatic animals, can also cause problems with people's boat propellers and so forth. And there are other species that can, you know, just sort of take over the system. They can eat feed on the invertebrate animals that the native fish, say, would need. They can also, with things like quagga mussel or zebra mussels, they can actually clog infrastructure, water intake structures, and cause a real problem there. And if they get up on shore when they're dead and so forth, it can make it really unpleasant for people who are walking around in bare feet on sandy or in the water.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a number of different problems that can relate to invasive species.
I got you. And can people prevent this? I mean, by themselves, if they're a little more kind of
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can really wash their equipment, wash boats, wash trailers. Of course, our preserve, Independence Lake Preserve, is in California, and California is pretty they're pretty tough on that. They have inspection stations. They have decontamination stations. They find a boat that's contaminated, they'll quarantine it and decontaminate. One of the things that we've used at the Independence Lake Preserve is there's really one access point to getting into the preserve, and when the county road ends, we have the road that actually leads to the lake. And what we've decided to do is really try to keep all boats and other watercraft from getting to the lake, outside boats and watercraft getting to the lake.
See.
So what we did, you know, we went through quite a process to figure out how do we do this, mm-hmm. and be fair and let people use
the environment.
The lake.
Yeah.
So we actually purchased a fleet of a few motorboats, some fishing boats and kayaks and float tubes. And we make them available to the public for free.
Oh, wow.
First come, first serve basis.
That's tremendously awesome of you.
Well, you know, we figured that people had used boats on the lake. It's a public body of water. We don't own the lake. State mm-hmm. of California owns the bottom of the lake. So we figured that, you know, this made sense. And it has built, I think, an amazing amount of goodwill.
Good.
And we get donations. You know, people figure,
wonderful.
Oh, wow, these are free. And then they, you know, they'll leave $20 at the end of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it funny? Sometimes that's all you need is to say something's free and then donation suggested and people will just go out of their way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Very cool. And then is there like an overall problem that you're seeing, like maybe just in your work, not just in Independence Lake, but just overall with the environment, with trees, the forests, is maybe connected to humans, maybe connected to climate change, whatever it might be.
Yeah, when we bought the preserve, we had a forest management plan done because most of the property is forested, and our forester did a good management plan. He also identified areas that were really overstocked with conifer trees, and this has been a result. This is all over the West.
Yeah,
it's not just in Independence Lake. It's all over the Sierra Nevada, and all over the West. Beginning in the 1900s, the Forest Service really began an active, real fire suppression initiative, and that's lasted for 100 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the forests in the Sierra Nevada and much of the West are adapted to periodic fire every few years or every 10 or 20 years, but that didn't happen anymore. So forests started to grow
up.
They just kept growing.
Just
and,
dense.
And, you know, after a while, you begin to see, natural periods of drought. And you've got all these trees. Think of all those trees as straws sucking water out of the ground.
Exactly.
And after a while, some of the trees, especially the smaller ones, get stressed to the point where you get bark beetles and you get other insects, and then disease comes in afterwards. And a lot of those are native, but, you know, they have a field day with all these stressed trees. You know, past cutting of the forests, depending on how it was done, has probably contributed to that. And other practices, grazing practices in forests may have contributed to it as well.
Oh, wow.
So there are a lot. But, you know, the fire suppression is really an issue. And now we and agencies all over the West are starting to thin forests out, try to get them back to a reasonable density of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so that if fire does come through, the fire stays closer to the ground and you don't get these firestorms like you saw with a rim fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Years ago.
Among, I mean, others.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's been an insane year as far as fires go.
Yeah, I read this morning there have been 41,000 fires throughout the West.
My Lord.
This year.
41,000.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
So,
as far as just the regular everyday person kind of going in, out in their environment, going to Independence Lake, what would you – do you have any advice for them as far as just kind of keeping everything the way it should be?
Yeah, we just hope that people will respect, you know, the environment around them, respect the wildlife that they see,
right.
You know, be respectful when they get out, respectful of each other too when they're out there. We do allow, you know, people will come up with their dogs, you know, and that's, you know, we ask people, you know, clean up after your dog. Keep your dog leashed or under your control so that they don't go after, you know, go after birds or go after mammals. Or bother other people, you know, there are things like that. And of course, we want people to be sensitive to, you know, we have some wet meadows on the property. We want people just wandering out into the meadows where, you know, you may have some sensitive plants or you'll have some sensitive birds nesting in the, we just want people to think about it. And we try to educate them. We talk about the fish.
Yeah.
The Independence Lake has all the native fish that would have been expected in that lake.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to let people know that and just understand why it's important to protect places like that.
If people want to find out more about just the Independence Lake project that you're working on or maybe just the Nature Conservancy in general, do they know? Is there any online? I'm sure you have an online presence.
Yeah, we do. You can Google the Nature Conservancy Nevada or the Nature Conservancy California. And on there's information about places we protect, and Independence Lake is one of those listed.
Wonderful. Do you ever need donations or anything like that?
Always.
Always.
We love donations. It really helps us because, you know, we bought the property, and that was great, and we had a lot of funders who helped us get there.
Mm-hmm.
But taking care of it long-term is expensive.
Most definitely.
So we ask people to make donations to the lake. We also are building what's known as an endowment. for the lake, which is
wonderful.
Basically will be a fund that would basically provide money ongoing for the management of the property every year.
Okay.
We wouldn't touch the principal, but it would generate interest, which we would then use to for our annual operating budget. So that endowment is going to be critical.
Very good. Well, people can look out for that and give to that, hopefully. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's the Independence Lake Legacy Fund.
There we go. And and the man in charge is in the studio, Mr. Chris Fichtel from the Nature Conservancy. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Ian.